Hey everybody, welcome back to an all-new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Today I have a very special guest. You might know her from her very popular TikTok and Instagram videos about being an American in Germany, the wonderful Brittany Elaine. We can just go from here. It's no problem.
Okay.
It's no problem. I'll sync it up later.
This is actually perfect. It really matches my life, so.
Yeah? Is your life kind of chaotic, you think?
Well, actually, it absolutely used to be. Things just always happened like that. And you just have to laugh and roll with it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I read what you have on your website and some of your blog content. And of course, I've watched plenty of your videos. But yeah, for those who don't know, Brittany Elaine, I guess you say Elaine. That's how I would say it. I don't know if the Germans say like Alaine.
They don't really say Elaine, but they do say Brittany.
Brittany. Oh God.
Yeah. Brittany.
Brittany and Tiffany.
Yeah. Genau.
Genau. How long have you? So you live in Hanover.
I live in a little village outside of Hanover.
Okay.
But I do take public transport.
Nice.
Into the city, a couple times a week because I teach English in Hanover.
How did you get English a position English. Teaching there? Did your life lead you there and then you got the job, or did the job lead you there?
Oh no. Yeah, the job did not lead me here. I did not plan to move to Germany whatsoever. So I kind of had to scramble and figure things out once I did come here and decided to stay here. I was actually in the middle of traveling, just like on a world trip, until I met my husband. Now husband, during that world trip, decided to come to Germany before, you know, and fell in love with it and decided I wanted to give this relationship a try and Germany a try. And yeah, and I kind of had to, basically, I was in the middle of reinventing my life. So I didn't know anything about anything. I never taught English before. My background was business management. And that's actually how I got the job, because I don't just teach English. I teach business and international correspondence. And I have a focus in like tourism and things like that. So that's how I got the job.
Wait, but how did you get an English job as a businessman, as a business major?
Well, because...
how did those things cross?
You can actually do that with many jobs. And this is also another one of my specialties is like career change too, because I was the hiring and firing manager and I had to go through resumes and all those process. I worked all across the United States opening up restaurants and things like that.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Why didn't you bring that to Germany with you? Bring some wet wild wings over here.
Right? That's one thing I absolutely do miss. That was just one of the many jobs that I had. But because this is like an international correspondence program, their main focus is about business. And what's really important is even though my background isn't in education, I actually have like hands-on experience with business. And if you think about it, a lot of teachers have... Not all, but a lot of teachers have only taught. They haven't actually ran a business or managed a business. They've only taught it out of a textbook, and which is fine. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's also good to have someone that actually has hands-on experience with whatever career you're in. So especially if you want to switch a career, it's quite easy to just find a common denominator in it. Anyway, that's one of my passions.
No, that's super interesting. I mean, I guess we should back up a bit. Like, so I've discovered you like a lot of people, first through TikTok, and then later through Instagram, and had seen your videos a lot. My first, you know, maybe I guess especially through the pandemic, I discovered a lot of people who seem to be in a similar I feel like an expat predicament in the sense that, like, yeah, we're here, we're not going anywhere, we like it here, but there's so much to make fun of and so much to be, you know, shocked by or to poke fun at. And yeah, I want to know, so, you know, I saw from your website you had a very different life before, you know, moving and traveling abroad. Do you want to talk about how that started, where you put things down and sold your stuff and hit the road?
I mean, yeah, I'm open to talk about anything, but I gotta warn you that it's not this like lighthearted, I'm gonna move to Germany and everything's gonna be great. It was actually quite, I had a rock bottom,
sure,
a really dark moment. Jordan, it's a dark moment in my life. I gotta say.
And
I didn't, I'm like, I could, like, put a warning for the viewers. But no,
I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. I didn't know anything about myself. I was pretty miserable. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was, like, reeling from all these really big things in my life. Like, my dad died from cancer, and that just put me through the ringer.
Where were you living? Where were you living at the time?
It's all, like, jumbled. Like
when things were spiraling at their worst?
At their worst. Two times they were spiraling at their worst. So I was living in Maine at the time, and my dad got diagnosed with cancer, and I had to, like, put it all down and then fly to Indiana, and things just, like, crashed. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this happens a lot. People, like, always think that you just have this one moment in your life, and that was, like, your worst. But what I find is, like, life is more like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hit a bottom, you think that you can, oh, I'll make it through, and then you kind of go down even further.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to me, and I was living in Florida at the time. And I just wasn't the person I wanted to be, and I didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know where to begin.
Was this
So I just started from scratch. Mm. I just completely, like, gave up everything from my old life. I stopped drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I think there's I'm going to fix it later, but there is a little delay, so I'm trying to not step over you when I ask something. But
can't hear you.
Was this like a post-high school blues thing, like private life, things not working out? Was it post-college? Were you not getting the job? Like, was there, I know personally too, it's very hard, even in hindsight, to, you know, be able to look at what a specific cause might be for things to not be going right and to be, like, you know, piling things onto yourself on top of a depression to make things worse. Like, your father having cancer definitely is, like, a clear shifting point to where things maybe got worse. But, like, you know, this chaotic part of you, was it, you know, post an important relationship or maybe losing a significant, it sounded like you were, you know, well-educated, like you were hustling, but maybe just personally things weren't working out.
What is your question? Like, where do you think, like, why do I think that I, like,
yeah, like
hit
when,
that rock
when,
bottom?
Like when things first started getting bad, like maybe before your dad had cancer, was there something, like certain triggers, or was it just a general overall low wave, things just not working out?
I think that a lot of people have had a life that was worse than mine. But I do believe that I had a very traumatic, like, childhood,
mm-hmm,
and traumatic experiences. So a lot of my issues, especially coming to Germany, is weird because I came from poverty. And when I mean poverty, I mean, like, real, like, especially younger. That has drastically, like, affected me throughout my life. I left the house when I was 17, and I've been on my own ever since, type of thing. And I think a lot of them were environmental triggers, and I think a lot of them were getting through generational traumas. And I also want to make a note that no matter how bad things were for me, I knew that the people around me were trying their best, but sometimes you don't know how to do it healthily. And I was just in a very, like, just difficult situation personally, because I didn't have, like, a secure, grounded, well-rounded upbringing that was, you know, consistent and secure. And I was very volatile all the time, and I don't remember, like, not struggling. It took me a really long time when I wasn't worried about like when I was going to eat and what I was going to eat and how I was going to pay my bills and not being able to go to the doctor, like really not being able to go and having permanent like damage because I was in a ski accident and I couldn't, you know, afford to go to the doctor. And I didn't have that support to be able to have somebody to, you know, help me out all the time. And also combined with, I was just trying to cling on and survive like the best I could. I didn't know how to do it. And so I just did what everybody else was doing. And I thought I was doing the right thing. And I, throughout my 20s, I found myself like thinking, all right, I'm going to get through this. I just do what everybody else tells me to do. And you're going to find this, work your corporate job, work 70, 80 hours a week, the American dream, and you'll be able to get all the things that you want. And then along the way, I just found myself just more and more unhappy and unsatisfied. I felt very angry mm-hmm. at some of the things, like my life, and just like, I was like an angry person in general. And yeah, when the more you live your life how you think other people want you to live it, the more unhappy of a person you become. And you get this sense of you don't even know who you are as a person anymore. You don't know, do I actually like this? Or have I just been doing this for so long that I think I like this? And
yeah,
it got to the point where, you know, I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself at all. I had this like picture of my head of the person that I thought I would become and who I wanted to be like when I was, I don't know, younger, 17, 18. And I was nowhere near it. And I think the problem is you look on the outside and you say, I have all these things. I have a good job. I have a good career, or I have, you know, this house or this apartment. Why am I so unhappy? Mm-hmm. And it's because you're not living like your truest life. You don't even know who you are. But people say that you just have to love yourself or you just have to do this. And it's one of those things where it's like,
easier said than done.
I didn't know even where to begin.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. And people who give that advice often don't really understand the full story anyway. It's just more of a, maybe it's less of a just get better and more of a don't burden me with it. You know, like just do some exercise, eat some greens. Come on. It's fine. Get over it.
Yeah. Drink some water.
And then, drink some water. Have you had enough water today?
Yeah.
No, but you, okay. So then you hit this point where you needed things to change. And where did you first start traveling to? Did you have a place in mind where you said, I've never seen Paris. I've got to go there, or something like that?
Here's the thing. I wanted to go to Thailand. I wanted to do like a solo backpacking trip across the world. And I wanted to end up in Southeast Asia. And I wanted to forget it all. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to worry about anything. I didn't want like a time crunch or money crunch or nothing. I just wanted to experience life. I wasn't like making any money. I feel grateful for the job I had because they were really flexible for me when I was like quitting drinking and I was getting my life in order. But I was not making any money there. So I had to think to myself, okay, this is what I want. I finally just had this thing. I was like, okay, I want to go to Thailand. It was on my bucket list. Why keep putting it off? This is what I'm going to do. How do I get there? And the only thing that I could think of is I have to make a lot of money. And so how do I make a lot of money? You go to a place where you can make a lot of money.
I'm all ears.
So which is Alaska. So
you can make a lot of money in Alaska?
In hospitality? Oh, yes, you can.
Really? I never knew that.
It's actually a really big tourist spot. And so I worked there for 2 seasons and I'm actually flying back for 3 weeks just to say hi and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But it, not to like move or anything, but game changer, life changer. It put a whole new perspective on my life. I basically also just like cut myself off from society. I was living in South Florida where they're all about like like, no disrespect, but a lot of things are about like your fancy, flashy cars. I was right side of outside of West Palm Beach and mm-hmm. plastic surgery. And you know what I mean? A lot of sure. outside superficial things. And then I went into the middle of nowhere, Alaska, where I didn't have running water or Wi-Fi or internet connection where I lived.
Wow.
But I did, into town. I worked two seasons there, actually, because the money was so good. And one season I lived in a school bus. So it was like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, a school bus in the middle of Alaska. And then I would just ride my bike 2 miles into town and work at, ironically enough, a brewery, even though I don't drink anymore. Everything worked out fine. It was great. Really actually love the owners and the company there, but I ended up saving up like $10,000 because I didn't drink anymore. And I was just working all the time. And it's just loads of tourists that just come in off the cruise ships and the buses.
Yeah, I mean, clearly clearly not paying for bills or anything, like living in a bus. I mean, it sounds horrible, but I mean, I guess, in the end, it's probably the right thing because you got to put that money away.
It wasn't even, well, the bus wasn't like my favorite experience. Like, first summer, it was amazing though. It was fantastic to be completely cut off, which is ironic because I didn't really have Instagram or anything until I came to Germany.
Okay, so, wow.
I wasn't even using social media.
It was waiting for you. And then when you finally broke through, it was like,
it was like,
I can totally, I mean, I think a lot of people who are heavy into whatever jobs or content they might do online can totally relate to the joy or the bliss of imagining being off the grid, being so isolated and on your own and in the moment and present. And, it's almost like it's such a first world problem to be like, I wish that I could just spend a week without that. And I could if I had the strength.
Yeah. And I really was doing it. I would, one of those things where I would just not have any plans. I would just work and then go down to the river and play my flute by the river or draw.
Oh my God. I'm going to end this phone call right now.
Draw and paint, and there's so many musicians and artists there. It's just like this little amazing little spot.
You were an Alaskan hippie.
I was, absolutely.
You were living in a bus, playing flute by the river. Oh my God.
I'm not even lying.
You were this close to being like a kidnap story on Unsolved Mysteries.
That is facts, actually.
Oh God.
I was like hitchhiking across the state. I mean, I was literally like left everything
good
behind.
Lord. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I do have like quite a bit of siblings.
Quite a bit. Wow.
Well, I am like from a like a broken family, so a lot of them I wasn't raised with. So like I'm like 20. How old is my youngest brother? Oh my gosh. Anyway, we're like 20 years apart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I have like 1, 2, 3 half brothers and 1 half sister.
Okay. Wow. Okay. No, I just wondered about all this adventuring isolated in Alaska. If there was someone, or maybe even around your age, who was like, what are you doing, Brittany? Brittany, where are you going?
Brittany. You know what? That is the one thing. So even when I was in the States, I was always traveling around in different states. And it's very common for either my friends or my family, if we were, talking, they'd be like, where are you at now? So it's pretty,
I mean, that's
kind of
cool in a
common way.
It sets a precedent for like, they know you're the traveler.
This is the longest I've been in a place, for sure.
Yeah.
Already gone. Usually I'm like, bye, thanks, that's great.
Well, when, so you were doing all this stuff in Alaska, you saved up money, and then was your first trip like, get me to Thailand, or did
all
you go
right,
somewhere else?
So I flew to Maine to see my best friend of the whole world. Everybody needs to have one. And then I flew directly into Paris, and I just did it because it was the cheapest ticket. It was just like a one-way ticket from Boston for like $99 sold. And I just, that's how I got my way through everything. Is I knew if I waited to save up money for the round trip ticket, I just wouldn't do it because it's expensive. In the end, it's cheaper, but I was just one way tickets all the way. So I just bought a one way ticket to Paris, and then I bought a one way ticket to Spain, and then I got to Thailand. But on that first day in Paris, changed everything. The whole trajectory of my life.
What happened, Brittany? What happened on that first day in Paris, that fateful day?
That fateful day in Paris, I arrived with a friend I was traveling with. We went to our hostel, and they didn't have a reservation. And we'd been traveling for so long, we were exhausted. It took us 5 hours just to get from, like, the airport to the hostel because everything was obviously French. And we were not very good travelers at the time, so we just kept getting lost. But we were also like, we're in Paris, so this is fine.
Baguette, by croissant.
but by the time we got to the hostel, we were, like, over it. They didn't have a reservation, and they only had one bed left. So I had to go outside, and I just opened up Hostel World and looked at the closest app, the closest hostel near us, and went in. Later that night, we went down into the nightclub.
Nice.
And I had a nice alcohol-free beverage. And that was where my now husband was.
On your very first, like... In the first 48 hours of being in Paris. Yeah. Your first Europe trip ever.
I went to Ireland right after my dad died, but kind of. Okay. It was like kind of. That was like a precursor.
But under these circumstances, like, I'm getting out of here. I'm gone.
Yeah. It was one of those things to where... I'm not making this up. I will never forget this moment in my life. I was on the dance floor and I saw him. He's like, had his like nice little suit on, like his little German hat, like the old school German hat. He's on his phone. And I looked at him and I was like, oh, that's trouble. I need to stay away from that.
I
was like, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm by myself. I'm doing my own thing. I'm a solo female traveler. I'm not going to get distracted. And later,
these legs are closed, mister.
Yeah, right? but I'm not kidding you. Later, he came over to the dance floor. He grabbed me. He twirled me around, and then he dipped me.
He is trouble.
That's not fair.
How are you going to turn that down? I mean,
I know, but I did, by the way.
He got those digits, though. Come on.
We ended up spending the next half day in Paris. And we went to the Louvre and just like walked around and did that whole thing and walked through the streets. And then he had to leave. He had to leave that day. So we didn't even get a full day together.
Crazy.
on his way, he said, you should come see me in Germany. And I was like, sure. He's like, no, promise me you'll come to Germany and visit me. And I said, I promise. And so instead of going south, I went north, and I was supposed to stay in Germany for 3 days. I stayed for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then I left. And it was one of the hardest things I had to do. But I was like, ain't no man going to stop me from my dreams. I got to go to Thailand.
Thailand is where I'm going to find my real husband.
Right? And so I went to Thailand. Well, I really wanted to go because on my birthday
fill
was...
The dream. Yeah. You got to
Well,
fit.
It was the... You know the Lantern Festival?
You light the little thing with the flame and it floats.
And it's like millions of them in the air. It was on my birthday.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was extra special. And so I did that whole thing.
You have to do that, definitely.
Traveled around. And then, at the end of the trip.
How did it work where you finished what you kind of checked Thailand off your bucket list and, you know, you were still thinking, what's your husband's name? Sorry.
Claudio.
Claudio. So you had Claudio on your mind, and how was it working with like tourist visa? You knew you probably have to go back to the States at some point, but you want to go back to Germany. What'd you do at that point after the Thailand trip?
Like after I came to Germany and decided that I was
like
going
you, to... You know, you stayed 2 weeks with Claudio, then you went to Thailand, you did your whole big trip there, and at the end of that, part of you is wanting to go back to Germany, I assume, right?
Yeah,
so
it was.
How did it work? Did you go straight back there, or did you go back to the States first?
Oh, I went straight back there.
Okay, and you just started working on getting a visa there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what was really difficult because it was a big decision when I was just like chilling in Thailand.
Gotcha.
And I had a point where I was like, either I'm going to go to Germany or I wasn't even going to go back to the States yet. I was just going to keep going onward.
I gotcha.
Because I saved up all that money and that was the purpose. So I'm like, either I can go and try to start a life in Germany just to see. I always wanted to live in a different country, just to see what it would be like. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I make that choice. And then, which was a really, really weird and difficult thing to do, like to just meet somebody and then being like, okay, I'm going to come back and we're going to see how this works. And then I started applying for my visas when I came back.
So what was the first, you know, like, let's say you're living, I guess, you know, with Claudio in his apartment. You're in, what city are you in at the time?
I was just in the village now. He grew up in
the same village. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
So straight to it, not even to like a major city, but into a smaller village. What was the, you know, settling in, let's say you're there for 2 or 3 months, getting, you know, all the bureaucracy, you know, getting the engine running for that. What are some things, some behaviors and things that you start to see from the standard classic German around you, Northern German around you, that you started to think, well, maybe I should make a little video about that, or I should note that for something. Maybe it'd be funny in a story I would write, you know.
It took me a long time before I even thought about making videos. And honestly, it was a really long time. At the time, I really couldn't find too many videos out there about, you know, immigrants and life in Germany.
Yeah.
There was one YouTuber, I can't remember her name, and she still does videos. I feel bad that I don't remember her name. Give her a little shout out.
Is she the Vietnamese woman?
No. Oh. No, I know her.
Nguyen? Is her name Nguyen?
She helped. Yeah. Nguyen. And she actually helped me when I first started making videos. I had some questions and stuff.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, she jumped on a video call with me. It was super friendly and just really helpful.
Like nowadays, I mean, I want you to finish that story, but just anecdotally, like there's this little thing in my brain of all these creators who are expats in Germany making, like, I would say we all have a very different take on things, but it's all, you know, expats making fun of Germans in a sense. And I see these like tears. And I remember when I first started getting into it, I guess I started posting consistently during the pandemic. But before that, I was just watching TikTok and I saw Liam Karps, the British guy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's in Frankfurt. Yeah. I've never had any contact with him, but I was like, oh my God, okay, mm-hmm. like whatever, millions of people watching his stuff. And then I saw Nguyen, and and both of them had such completely different, like from the British perspective, from the Vietnamese perspective, that it was so, I was like, okay, this is like what it could, like this is like the tier. And it was very quickly after watching them that it sprinkled into your videos. It went into, there's this like Austrian Kiwi guy, Johnny, who lives in Austria, Irish man in Germany, Lawrence. And then next week on the show, you might know Laura Ramoso. She's a comedian in Toronto, but she has really popular videos of impersonating her German mother.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You might have seen her. So this like whole thing of like, oh man, wouldn't it be great to like finally get to meet these creators who, you know, also I think sometimes we inspire each other, but also just kind of we all connect on the thing of Germany's kind of silly sometimes, you know, or like what we miss about
home. It's one of those things. Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it's really funny how that all works out, because I mean, when we talk about the word of culture shock, a lot of people just think, oh, I was just really surprised about this thing, when actually culture shock is an actual process of different stages of culture shocks. And that is where like integration comes in at the end, and how the things that I used to hate before, or I would feel so uncomfortable because they're so different, are things that I actually do now, and how you can absolutely hate something and then kind of find it kind of cute later, or just enough to where you find it like amusing, or maybe it still irritates you. It doesn't matter. And how different that can be. And that's what I really like it, because the reason why I created my video is, honestly, I struggled so much when I moved to Germany. I didn't move to a big city. Everybody's like, don't worry. You don't have to worry about all Germans speak English. And I couldn't. No, especially like in Hanover, maybe for example, in like Cologne or Berlin or something, that's more English. I believe that. That's fine.
Sure.
But even in Hanover, I went to the train station where that's like the information desk one time, and the guy couldn't speak any English to me.
That's crazy.
It's the main train station in Hanover. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
You get that in Munich too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that speak English. I've definitely been lucky to get by, but There's always positions like that where you expect, okay, now, of course, this person must, I'm not going to question the person running this department of whatever, the train, for example, you know, will speak English, and they just have no, like, no, got an English. Can't come English.
And this thing is, as we all know, that when you move to Germany, you need to learn German. That is very clear.
Sure.
But what is frustrating is when everybody says that they speak English. And so, for example, if a tourist comes or when you first move here and you're like, oh, I know a little bit of German, it's really frustrating when everybody says they speak English and it's not happening to you. And I just had this really weird or like strange experience living in a smaller area. I didn't have like all those clubs and groups that you can, you know, kind of get friends. And I just honestly, I really struggled. I thought it was all a lot about like me personally. I just felt like I was failing because I didn't know what I was doing wrong. I just, you know, when you have a feeling you're doing something wrong or you said something wrong or just something's off and you don't know what you did. It was just like a constant state of that being, even though like the people in my village are like super sweet, but it's still when you do something that's different, you're like, what?
Yeah,
what just happened? You know,
I feel like there's some universal German behaviors that it doesn't matter where you are. Like, I had the luxury in the last few years of being able to, for different jobs, like travel to just about every single major city at least, and sometimes you go through smaller towns as well. And one behavior that always kind of seems consistent is that, like, the ever-present staring. Like, I think we've all made some kind of video about the staring, because it's just so, I mean, it's just like so blatantly rude that it, like, it's almost slappable. Like, how can you be doing this? How are you doing this right now? And they don't even, it doesn't even register. Like, for those who are listening who have never lived in Germany, it's just this, like, how would you describe it? You're sitting on a train and maybe you have a wild looking shirt, or maybe you look very normal and it's just this.
Yeah.
You know, usually an elderly person sitting maybe nearby, and just this like unblinking, unwavering stare at, just staring into your eyes.
Into your soul. Oh. Here's the thing. It used to drive me like absolutely crazy because I always had a negative, for me personally, I don't know about anybody else, I just had like a negative, like a feeling about it. Meaning I thought they were just like judging me. Because here's one thing, it's like no emotion there. There's nothing going on, you know? And so they're just staring into you. They're not like a smile to make you feel like, hey, everything's okay. And I later discovered, I think it's because Germans are so internalized that they would never say, well, unless you're breaking a rule, they would never say things out loud to you. For example, in the States, like if I was on this train and I saw this girl and I really liked her outfit, I would just be like, hey, that's a really cute outfit. Where did you get that? Hence the small talk. Hence also why people think that, you know, Americans are superficial, which I don't think is necessarily true. We're just a very externalized, too much to a degree. We will literally just say anything that pops into our head and we'll immediately say it out loud, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I notice it more and more every time I visit home. Like even on the plane back to the States, there's plenty of Americans on there, and they will just strike up conversations about something that my hat says, and it's like, what?
Yeah,
I'm so not used to that anymore.
It's an internal monologue that we just immediately just spew out of our mouths. I enjoy it. Germans are on the other hand, so they have an internalized monologue. So much. Honestly, they're always like thinking and analyzing and like all this internally. And that's what they're doing. And you know, when you're like, you're thinking so much and you kind of just like space out, do that. I think that's what Germans do. Honestly, it's the only explanation I have.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think they don't get that it's coming off like a little hostile. You know, just like, yeah, like you said, maybe they're just noticing something they even enjoy, but they just keep it all in and they're just kind of losing track of how much time that they've been just staring.
It was really difficult for me to adjust to that because I also was raised in the Midwest, which is like super like open and like not open, but like super friendly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like always talkity, talk. And I've heard, I mean, of course, I've only lived in the northern side of Germany, but even northern Germans are a lot different from like southern Germans, and they're even more so reserved. And so there is always two sides of the coin. For example, it was really hard for me because I just felt like they didn't really have very many emotions and they didn't talk very much. But it's also helpful, too, when you're learning German and you don't have to worry about holding a really long conversation. You can just be like, klar. You know, like just.
Oh, there we are.
Okay, that scared me.
Lost the video for a second, but we're good. We saved it.
Okay, good.
But yeah, anyway, I know what you mean. Bavarians and the Northern Germans are completely different species almost. And I mean, did you have issues? Yeah. I don't know how much you traveled around in Germany, but any issues with dialect, like learning the language and realizing that no one speaks it?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, right? I'll never forget. I've been to all 16 states. So like I traveled all around and especially like the little villages. One of my biggest mistakes was the one, and I think the only time I was overly confident in my German skills when I was first learning German. And I wanted to go to, because I came here with zero skills, right? I wanted to go into the bathroom. We were traveling somewhere in the east, and I was like, oh, I'll just go into the gas station and just ask them if they have the bathroom and where it's at. I'm at that stage where I can understand that.
Yeah.
That Saxon dialect is on a different level.
Yeah.
I asked, like, wo is die Toilette? And I don't even know what the words were that came out of this lady's mouth. And I just, like, and my husband knew, oh, a little shit. He knew. He just had, like, the smile. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Go ask for the toilet. Sure.
Go ahead.
And he's, like, way in the background, like, by the automatic doors. And he's like,
just arms
she says
crossed,
it's around like the corner. She says it's around the corner to the right. I'm like, okay.
Oh, man. That's so crazy. And I mean, they must have some fun with that too, because they have to hear that even if we are speaking German, we obviously have an accent, or, you know, we say it a little slowly, or it's just clear because it's Hochdeutsch that it's not regional or something, but they love, no matter where they like, especially in the deep, deep South near the mountains, there's this dialect that's really close to Swiss German. It's this region called the Allgäu, and it's just borderline impossible. It's completely different words, and it's been a struggle.
Yeah, when we went to Switzerland, that was also very difficult. I would say that for me, Saxony and the Swiss German is the hardest for me. I thought Bavarian was like just the different regions of Bavaria. I thought that was difficult, but now it's not so bad. Still Saxony, it's really hard for me to understand what some of them are saying. But even within Germany itself, they're always like kind of mocking each other's accents too. I remember we went somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Bavaria, and they looked at my husband and they're like, why don't you guys have an accent? And I just thought that was just so funny. Like, why do you, like, they purposely got rid of an accent. Like, why do you sound like that? This is so interesting. This is a German talking to a German, you know?
Do you remember, like, your very first video that got some traction and what the topic was about?
I do. It was my fourth video ever made. And that's actually why I just kept making videos. Mm-hmm. It was all the things that I loved about Germany. Because I do really love it so much here. And it's one of those things, stereotypes are true and they're good. But at the time, that's all people were ever talking about. And it's one of those things where you got to find like the little things in life that makes you happy. And I was really miserable for a while when I came to Germany until I started really appreciating the little things. I mean, once I started focusing on that, my whole perspective kind of changed. And that was the first video that got traction. And so I had like no followers on TikTok, and my fourth video got like almost 1 million views.
And what was what was exactly the top again? Topic?
Just all the little things about Germany that I like. And
oh, I see. Right.
I just kind of like introduced myself, and I was like, people always talk about like sausage and the Autobahn, but there's so much more to Germany. And Germany is waking up early on, you know, Sunday morning and getting fresh buns and like just like describing it. I'm a writer. So like I was like really describing it, how the smells and the tastes and the feelings of Germany and home.
That's
and
cool. Do you have like a video that, whether or not it did great or not, that you personally love and that you, I don't know, have ever reposted or that you just cherish as like, that's what I think is like my thing?
Oh, that is what I think is my thing. I feel like there's so many different aspects of like myself and my own personality that I confuse myself. And honestly, as a creator, it was really difficult because I felt like I needed to put myself in a box. Like, I'm just going to make these videos about, like, funny little skits or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. But also, I'm, like, a really ushy-gushy person at heart. And I like talking about, like, self-development and being like, if you're struggling in life, like, you can do it type of things. But I would say that there's different pieces of myself. One of my favorite videos, the one that I was talking to you about, is the ones about, like, finding little things and really enjoying them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but also I do really enjoy the ones that when I really took off is when I started doing like the skits with the two perspectives, either myself and a German or right. myself and my like German husband, which isn't always like people think it's all of them are completely true. But I'm like, no, it's satire. It's like me having like to explain a situation. But I would say, yeah. Actually, I don't know.
How has your relationship with your audience changed? Because I mean, I'm going to put the links for your socials and your website in the show notes here for people to go check out themselves. But I mean, just TikTok alone is a huge number of people. And how do you feel that your audience's relationship to you maybe has grown, or do they give something back to you as well as what you give to them, you think?
This is complicated.
Welcome to podcast, baby!
Right? This is complicated. Here's the thing. I almost quit making videos multiple times because I couldn't take it. Okay. So I used to post really consistently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people have noticed, but like my... I don't post consistently anymore. I have to really focus on like my life and my health. And also I'm a teacher. So I don't post as consistently as I want, but I was posting for like 6 months, 8 months, every single day, and I got burnout really quickly. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of hate, especially on TikTok, as being an American, a lot, especially focused on my looks. I think women,
that's just disgusting internet shit, right?
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, it's really easy to be like, oh, just don't like read them and just don't, you know, do all this stuff. Yeah, that's easier said than done after when you get like thousands of comments telling you like you're fat or you're stupid or whatever. It's really difficult, you know. But this is TikTok. And so for a long time, I would just stop posting and then I'd come back. Because what's really tricky too, to be a good creator, you need to be constantly on these apps to know the trends, the trending sounds, like good topics, and to be like kind of just like present. And also like that's a really hard balance. However, I will say that my Instagram audience has never really been like that. They've been always like really supportive. Mm-hmm. And like are just not so anonymous, and therefore they have like more responsibility with like their words and things like that. And I feel like I'm a lot more like, if you go on my stories, like this is like my everyday life, this is who I am. And so I feel a lot more of a connection with my Instagram people. Mm-hmm. And therefore I have like two different audiences when it comes to that. And so people on Instagram have really brought a lot of value to my life, because a lot of times we go through our life and being like, why am I even doing this? Is this like even helping anybody?
Right.
And my main goal is I want to help people. Honestly, I want to make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make them laugh.
Sure.
I want them so they don't feel alone. And also I want to give them tips, because I do like travel vlogs and tips, and like I want to be helpful, you know. I want to make your life easier.
Yeah.
And so whenever they reach out to me and talk to me and they say, hey, this, you inspired me to take my first trip, you inspired me to go to Germany, you really helped me a lot with like the language and your videos, even coming to the States, it literally just like, I can't even tell you. It's just like, it's
the best.
It's the best feeling ever.
It's the best feeling.
And so that's why it's complicated. But, you know, that's life. Not everything is going to be perfect and great. And it's really helped me a lot because I create a lot of boundaries. So when I'm like, whoa, I'm not in a good place mentally, I have a lot. Like right now, it's the end of school. So I have so much going on with exams. I'm like, take a break. It's fine. And when you're ready and you're feeling inspired, we're artists. Like, we are artists.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You got to take breaks.
I met a really, there's this, you've probably seen him before. He's been viral so many times, but there's this guy named Josh Harmon who plays like percussive sounds along to like TV and film clips in a corner.
Okay.
He kind of replaces the sound in the show with what he makes with like sponges and water drops and brushes and stuff. And it's really, really well done. But he just recently moved to New Orleans from New York. And when I visited New Orleans, where I'm from, I visit there every year. He was like hanging out with two good friends of mine. I was like, oh my God, you're that. I mean, he's got, I don't know how many millions on every platform. He was on Jimmy Fallon for
oh my gosh.
Like huge deal. And so I met him and I was like, wow, you're in New Orleans. Okay, are you doing a, my first instinct was like, well, you're here doing a project for your content. And he was like, no, I've been taking a break and I don't know when I'm going to go back. I don't really care. Right now I'm just having fun and I'm feeling good. And I was like, you can, of course you can do that. Of course you can do that. Yeah. And it just like, and then we just like made friends. And I think he's posted one video in the past, you know, two or three months since I met him. And I'm so happy that like, it's good for me to watch that and see that like, okay, his growth has not gone under what he stopped at. It's maybe even still just gone up. And he's comfortable and he's relaxed. And I know who he's hanging out with and they're really good people. So I know he's just like playing shows at the jazz clubs and like having some drinks or whatever and dancing and like maybe dating girls. And it just like, good for you, man. Like, of course you can take a break. Of course.
And you honestly, as artists, we really need to do that because it's a really a difficult balance to always feel like I need to be producing something like over and over and over. I need to have all this output. And we're focused on the output, but we're not focused on our input. And it's all about that. And I would just get so burnt out where I'd be sitting and it's like, I would have, you know, like, what am I going to, you know, make? I can't even think of anything. And it's because I'm not getting inspired. I'm not like going out and living life and eating food and being a part of the culture that inspires me. And so, I don't know. If any content creators are out there, make sure that you are focusing on the input, not just the output.
Focus on the input. That's a really nice message. I really completely agree with you about this concept of having two very different audiences. Like my main, it's the same with you. I think main audiences are TikTok and Instagram. And although I try to put things on Facebook and YouTube, sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's not. It's really a completely different game. That with Facebook, I'm not willing to spend the time to learn it the same way that I did with the other two. And YouTube, I mean, until I can do something, until I have the time or the capabilities or the Lust, as the Germans say, to do longer form content, then for me, just putting up shorts is fine for now. I'm not so worried about it. But it is completely different audiences. And I, like, same with you, Instagram, I very, very seldomly get any, like, really strongly negative comments. Sometimes you get Germans who just disagree or they, I love like, cause now it's turned more, less from like the language into more of like kind of mocking behaviors. And I love that sometimes I'll get Germans in the comments that just say like, not to be the German here, but I don't get why this is funny, you know? It's like, but that's what's funny about it.
Which makes it just like even funnier.
Yeah.
Can I ask you what your German language level is?
I had to pass my B1 for visa, so that's where it's at for now.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Not in a bad way. Because we're like at the same level, right? Like I think I'm working on my B2, like C1. I have my B1. But your videos are so top tier when it comes to like your accent, your German accent.
It cracks me up
how so many of your, especially when they're like your new, I'm like always in your shit, man. And because I love it. How they think you're German.
Yes, that happens every day. Every day there's some, like I'll post a story about my radio show or about this podcast And people will realize for the very first time that I still get DMs every day. Hey man, I can't quite figure it out. Like, are you American? Are you German? And I just don't answer them, because if they can't take the time to look at my bio or just to like get it, you know, like come on, guys, get it. Then I'll just leave the mystery because it's more fun.
Oh, it is. And I think it's fantastic. It's so good. I was just wondering about that too, because also, you know, being here during the pandemic really set me back, like language-wise, culture-wise, because we're just like all trapped inside, and definitely, I couldn't like go out into the world and like practice my German or anything. And so people are like, "How long have you been in Germany?" I'm like, "It doesn't count, like normal years."
Exactly. <You know? laughs> Exactly. I completely agree with that. Definitely. No, I had to pass. I think I passed my B1. Maybe almost 2 years ago, but I've been pretty lazy about getting back into it. So I'm happy to hear that you're persevering onward.
Well, I have ADHD, Jordan. So I get hyper-focused on certain things like making content. And then I'm like, this is the most boring thing you can ever do. My current new obsession is learning Korean. So
it's like... What? What?
Yeah, so I have so many different language apps I work on.
I don't have notes for that. How do you, what?
I'm just learning. And it's one of those things where, like, of course, like, I know Spanish as well. I'm not fluent, but just enough to get by. My family lives in Spain. And so, like, on certain apps, I'm like, okay, German is my main focus. Boop, 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 boop. And then a little Spanish. I'm comfortable. And then I'm trying Korean, and I'm like, can't even get the alphabet.
Why Korean? What drew you to Korean?
I don't know. Just like the media movies. One of my students, love my students. My students are literally the best.
Like South Korean cinema is incredible right now.
Seriously, it's so good. Yeah. Also, kind of, it's more dramatic, and I do like German cinema because, like, when it's like dark, because they have like really good dark movies, and like I like their crime, but it's very German.
It's very German. Yeah.
And so the Korean cinema is just like so dramatic, and you know, it soothes my American heart. And I got into that, and then I just immediately became obsessed. So my new thing is like Korean dishes and eating Korean and speaking Korean. I don't know how long it's gonna last.
And what is your German?
I always come back to it.
What does your German husband think about that?
Oh, he finds it very amusing. He actually came into the living room yesterday and he was like, my new hyperfixation. Because I like bowed to him or whatever, because I'm a really big nerd.
So, I'm happy to hear it.
he just like rolls with it. It's always something new. But I have like a million hobbies. I'm not a master of too many things, but I know how to do a lot of the most random things, like ukulele and stuff like that.
I saw a video, I saw a TikTok once of a guy talking about literally this exact same behavior, and he was making some sort of joke, sing-songy thing about like, well, my new, you know, Lego Starship craft came in the mail that I'm not going to finish because I, and then he had like a podcast studio he never set up, everything's still in the plastic, you know, he had like a basketball goal he never unfolded.
Literally.
Oh my God.
Literally. It's in my, like, I have like a little Backhaus. It's like the, like a little shed that they used to use as like the bakery for the village. And we have Wow. And that's like my, it's like my studio. And I was like, I'm going to set this up like my podcast. I got this mic. Eventually.
Eventually.
I get to it eventually. Yeah.
You'll get
whenever
to it.
I, you know.
I would just wrap up with a couple more things. Do you, because your followers are such a good number, like, have you, I guess you've probably been approached by brands or by companies before to make videos with and for them. Who, you know, if you feel comfortable talking about it, who do you choose to support with your work? Like, what kind of people do you say, yeah, I'll do a video for you, or for example?
Things that will actually enrich people's lives and actually like help people in like certain areas, and not something that is just like going to be like a consumeristic thing that they can just like fill the empty void in themselves. So usually I get people that reach out to me. It's not so much anymore. It comes in waves, usually like the third quarter of the year. That's when all the businesses will start reaching out and they need to get their whatever budgets filled and stuff like that. And I hate health. Anything that's like health, green smoothie, pill, you're not good enough. So buy this product. I hate stuff like that. But for example, I work with a lot of language obviously in my niche as well, but I work with like a lot of language companies, mm-hmm. and also things that are like inspiring and things that are, for example, I actually don't work with many. And so this is one mm-hmm. of those things where it has just become like a, I want it to be like a business, but it's one of those things where I don't want to like be a part of, you know what I'm trying to say?
Like, yeah, you have your life, you I have your happiness. Money. That can be something that if you like it and you have the time, you'll do it for fun if it means something to you.
Yeah, well, this is technically my business. I have a business. That's Brittany Elaine is my thing. Taxes and all that other stuff, content creation. But it's one of those things where it's I can't do it full time or mm-hmm. do it more because then I'd have to take on like brand deals that I don't align with. I've worked with like mm-hmm. a lot of like a different companies, but they for me were always really helpful. Like I had a problem with sleeping, really bad insomnia. And so I worked with a company that like worked with like weighted blankets that actually have helped me and I actually use and I was able to get sleep. Sleep's important. Learning a language is important. Being That's able awesome. To travel somewhere and like go and like achieve your dreams. That is also important. Like things that actually like help people. But yeah. I say no all the time. It's like usually just crap. And I'm like, no, you don't need to buy that. Save up money and go travel somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. I think, that's all very new for me. Like, there's only been a couple of, like language again. Apps. Hello, 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 hello.
Oh, sorry, yeah, we lagged again. Yeah, do you want me to say the ones that I worked with, or?
No, well, you don't have to, but I was just saying, like, that's the reason I asked is because all that was new for me in the last, like, year or so, and language apps were the people that I found myself migrating towards most, like, working with or doing something in collaboration with, and there's this really great chocolate company that's their whole goal is basically to create a supply chain from the consumer to the farmer that has no modern day like cocoa farm slavery, which apparently is uh-huh. extremely abundant, and which I didn't uh-huh. know. So I did like a trip thing to one of their conferences, and that was the weirdest thing to be doing, like jokes about Germany, but then being asked to be a part of that. But thankfully, like you're saying, like I really like what they do. It's good chocolate, and they have a great, like a really great goal and a something yeah. to support really well. So, yeah, I wondered how that was, how you felt about that, how you worked with that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, obviously, like you have a bigger like following and everything like that. But if you ever need help when it comes to any of those things. I had other creators that helped me before, and I'm also like really willing to help with like questions and stuff, because you have to be really careful as a creator. It can be really tricky, especially with contracts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to actually accepting like brands, I just say like, is this something that is going to bring value? Does it align with me, and does it bring value to other people's lives? And right. in a positive way. And of course, there's always like negative sides, obviously. But
yeah, sure, I don't know. Sure.
If I like it personally, I'm like, this is me. I am my brand. This is me. So if I like this and I would buy this and this helps me, then I will promote it.
Yeah.
But it just depends. That sounds awesome. Your collaboration, that sounds incredible. I would do it too.
And yeah. And I wanted to ask one more thing here just to wrap it up. Now that you've lived in Germany this long and you've created such a life here, and there's so many things that, you know, because I can connect with this too in the sense of certain foods or behaviors or societal differences that you've adapted to be your own. What are some maybe German foods or behaviors or norms for you now that if you had to leave, you know you could never give up? That's something you'd never want to give up now that you've adopted it.
So many. Let us begin. First off, I had to sit outside in my garden with my Birkenstocks.
Oh, yeah.
Facts.
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful day. Getting some fresh air. Love that. Also, Maggi. Hands down.
Maggi?
Maggi? What is life without it? Like, what is life without Maggi?
What's Maggi?
Is it Maggi? Maggi? M-A-G-G-I. It's that little sauce that you put on eggs.
Oh.
Like, soft boiled eggs. But, dude, I just like... I don't know if it's the American in me, and I just like put it on. I put it on my like a little dropper here on some paprika, fresh cut paprika.
Yeah.
And maybe like a nice soft boiled egg with a little Maggi on top. Perfection. Couldn't live without it.
I saw one of Ewan's video with her, where her boyfriend did this. And I didn't know what it was.
Oh my gosh, go buy it now. It's so good. It's so good. Also, you can put it in like little Huxite Zupa, just like a little splash in some, you know, pea soup. So good. Ah, incredible. Okay. Couldn't live without it. Also, Sundays, I love my Sunday life in Germany. I am like a achiever, and so it gives me an excuse. I quiet Ruhrtag, no noise, get some fresh buns from the bakery. I couldn't live without buns.
Man, the bakeries. I could never live without the bakeries ever again. Like,
it's,
never.
It's. I went to Maine in October, and I was like, I forgot that this is what the bakeries are like. This is... It's heartbreaking. I didn't realize like how much it has affected me. And also, I go a lot. Even with I want to know how many times I went
Yeah, that's so true.
you know, I don't know how many times I do that.
I found myself when someone like when something accidental happens, you drop something or you bump into something. I found myself always saying like, oh, opala.
Is that like a southern thing?
Maybe it's opala? A Bavarian thing. Maybe.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, opala.
I've never heard of that. I love it. That's so cute. But I also notice, this is just because I've been here so long, but I even carry bags like Germans do. You know how they have like the perfect posture and their arms are straight down?
Oh, I saw your video on that. Yeah.
And nobody understood what I was talking about. But I'm like, I swear to God, go out and look at how like Germans are like so perfectly erect and how they carry. I'm carrying bags like that now. What else things do I do? My etiquette when I eat. I'm such a like a better eater now that I felt so weird going back home, and had my fork and my knife and I was eating everything and everybody was just like super relaxed and just eating with their fams, and I was like,
you pigs, you monsters.
There's actually so many things in my everyday life that I'm so prepared.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. But also like, no, just live life, Brittany. You know, I was like, you're a hippie in Alaska. Why are you making sure you have an umbrella? And like, you know? I remember sometimes I would like automatically do something that was like very like culturally German and then be like, no. Don't do it. But not anymore. Now I embrace it. I embrace it.
There was a little, before I started doing this character, there was a series I was doing for a little while that was like, I've been Germanized.
Another lag.
Is it working now? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2.
Yeah.
It's working now?
Yeah, it's working now.
I was saying like, before I started doing this German character guy, there was a little series that I was doing that was like, I've been Germanized. And it reminds me a lot of this, like little things, like, yeah, like the Birkenstocks and the word behaviors and things like that. And there's a lot of things I take back with me when I go to the States, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Brittany, this has been so much fun. I really appreciate. I know you're a busy, busy lady, so I appreciate your time so much. And this was a great pleasure. I'll put everybody. I'll put her socials and her website in the show notes. Go check out Brittany Elaine, TikTok, Instagram. Great content, great person. It's been so much fun. Thanks for being so open.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It was my pleasure.
Of course. It's been a real blast. Let me go ahead. We can say bye now. I'll stop this recording and then we'll chat just a second off mic here. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
Bye.
Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.